Welcome to the First Century Church Podcast. My name is Stephen Wilhoy, and I'm the lead pastor at First Century Church, and it is an honor to have you with us today. The goal of the podcast is simple. We want you to be encouraged, challenged, and inspired to go further in your faith than ever before. If you'd like more information about the church, you can visit our website, firstcenturykc.com. And if you happen to be in the Kansas City area anytime soon, we'd love to have you join us for one of our live gatherings to connect with you in person. Again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. So let's get into the final week. We're going to conclude today our series, Follow Me, Living the Way of a Disciple. And this series has been all about starting the year with this challenge of growing in our faith, developing in our faith, becoming better followers of Jesus, better disciples of Jesus. And so I'll start at how we've started the last several weeks of this series is by defining the word disciple. If that's the key idea, we want to know what we're talking about. But it also comes with a challenge in following Jesus. So the definition of a disciple, as we've been talking about so far, is this. A disciple is a lifelong learner, follower, and imitator of their teacher. And that is true in any field, in any industry. A disciple does that. They imitate, they follow, they look at, they want to be like their teacher. Now, in following Jesus, that's not as simple as it may sound. Because here's the challenge in this. Following Jesus is the most demanding, difficult assignment of our lives if we take him seriously. It is difficult by design. Following him can be a treacherous path, but it's one worth taking. And Jesus tells us how difficult this assignment can be by defining and describing for us what he's looking for in potential disciples, what he's looking for in potential followers of him. In Matthew 16:24, it says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" And so the purpose of this series, Follow Me, is looking at some marks that we can look at on what it looks like to follow Jesus. How can I know that I'm doing that? How can I know I'm getting better at that? What are some markers in my life that I can look at and say, this is what I'm trying to do to follow Jesus? Or these are the things that he might be looking for. What's required as I aim to follow him? So far, the last 3 weeks, we've looked at more of the denying ourselves and taking up our cross markers. We've looked at things that might be seem easy or sound easy to do, but are in practice difficult and take a life to figure out. And we don't even master them even at the end of life. We want to be like our master, Jesus, but we never become a master like he is. So that's that part we've looked at so far. As we finish up our series today, we're going to focus more on the follow me part of this key theme verse, following Jesus. So you might think, well, follow Jesus where? And as we'll see today, everywhere you go. Or follow Jesus doing what? And as we'll talk about today, following him doing everything that we do. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we want to be a disciple that follows Jesus. And so then today's marker of a disciple in the final week of our series is this. A disciple lives life on purpose with purpose. A disciple lives life on purpose with purpose. Now, that statement is loaded. And that statement can be very complicated, as we will talk about in our time together today. But that is the last, we'll talk about, the last marker of a disciple as they live life on purpose with purpose. And regardless of anyone's station in life, regardless of their faith history or background or current status, purpose is maybe the key question that everyone has in common. What is my purpose? What am I to do with the life that I've been given? What am I here for? What difference can I make in the world around me? And what difference should I make? And how do I do that? So we have to live on purpose. Now, the opposite of living on purpose is living by accident. We don't want to live that way. You know, you don't say, I got in a car purpose the other day. You say, I got in a car accident the other day. I didn't see it coming. I wasn't expecting that. Now, many people live their entire lives on accident without knowing what their purpose is. And even people that sometimes they make a positive impact or do a lot of good, but that's almost accidental. It's almost like they didn't really have anything to do with that. It just sort of happened to them. Life happens to people that live on accident. And even as we'll see, people that try to live on purpose with purpose, we can't predict the future completely. There are things that will take even people of purpose by surprise. There'll be ups and downs. There'll be twists and turns. That's just the nature of being a human, living a human life. But as a rule, the goal of a disciple is to not live accidental lives, but to live lives of purpose on purpose. So to sort of define and describe what that is, I'm going to give you kind of a roadmap of where we're going to go today. We'll start out with looking at two observations about purpose in general. Then I want to share with you four benefits of discovering purpose in life. And then we'll end quickly with looking at a disciple's ultimate purpose. That's sort of the roadmap. Two broad observations, four benefits of purpose, and then our ultimate purpose as disciples of Jesus. So let's start with this first observation about purpose. It ties in a little bit with what we looked at last week. We talked about the body, the community, and our gifts. Here's the first observation about purpose is this. Everyone's purpose is unique. I probably should actually back up a little bit, and maybe the point zero, I guess, should be everyone has a purpose, in case you're confused or unaware. Everyone has one, and as you learn to discover and walk in whatever that is, you will find that everyone's purpose is unique. God has hardwired each person here today with specific interests and skills that are used for a purpose, a specific purpose. You have specific experiences that you've gone through that will mold you into what your purpose is. You have a certain way of looking at things and viewing things, and you have certain interests and hobbies and things that make you who you are that then define your specific purpose. Because I cannot do your purpose, only you can. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life, only I can do that. It's unique. We don't have to look like one another. Again, going back to last week, unity doesn't have to mean uniformity. We're united as a body, but we're different in our giftings. And that's the way really God designed it to be. He's given you a specific purpose for your life. And so here's my encouragement on this point. We'll move off of it quickly. My encouragement on this point is simply this. Embrace, don't chase. When it comes to your purpose, embrace, don't chase. Embrace the purpose God has hardwired you for, and try not to waste your time and energy looking at what the other gifts or abilities or purposes everybody else has. And even as a pastor, I have to think about this all the time. I'll hear a preacher preach on YouTube or online and think, man, I wish I could do that. Well, God's hardwired me to do things the way he's hardwired me to do them. And so if I waste my time trying to adapt my style or my methods or anything to fit what they're doing, it's not really going to be as effective as if I just lean into what God has hardwired me to do. It's the same thing with anything that you do in life, anything that you look at. What has God hardwired them to do? Whatever it is, it's going to be great. Whatever he's got for you to do is going to be great as well. So embrace, don't chase. Look at what God has for you as you try to discover and live out God's unique purpose for your life. Here's a second observation about purpose is this. Your purpose is not what you do, but can be expressed through what you do. Okay? Your purpose is not what you do, but can be expressed through what you do. You know, we do this with kids all the time. We ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's an innocent question, and it makes sense, and I'm not trying to play semantic games here. I'm just trying to help us to see there are differences between what you do and who you are. That who you are is not entirely what you do. Too many people live that way, and they waste a huge chunk of their life thinking that what I do is who I am, and then, as we'll talk about in a minute, when that changes or life changes or the situation changes, they feel purposeless because they've combined that. They conflate that, what we do with who we are, but they are different. Your purpose is bigger, for instance, than your profession. It's bigger than what you do for a living. That is not who you are. So since it's Super Bowl Sunday, I found this quote last year during the week before the Super Bowl. There was an interview that Cincinnati Bengals defensive lineman Trey Hendrickson gave in an interview, and he said this, and it ties in perfectly with this idea. He says, everything I am, I want to be given to the Lord. Everything I am and everything I do, I want to glorify the Lord with it. So his identity, his purpose is not in being a professional football player. That's just what he does. But he understands that's not who I am. I'm using what I do for a bigger purpose. I'm using it as a gift, as a tool, as a method to do something bigger than just play this game for a living. And it's the same way with any of us. So your purpose is not working in an office or working in a shop or in a warehouse. Aren't you glad for that? That's not your purpose. Your purpose is not answering phones or filing paperwork. Your purpose is not crunching numbers. Your purpose is not making service calls. Your purpose is not making sales. That is not your purpose. Even if you are a full-time stay-at-home parent, your purpose is not just to be a stay-at-home parent. This is important because sometimes we hate what we do for a living, don't we? How in the world are you going to find purpose in what you hate to do for a living? You can't, in that thing itself. So it's not just that. This is also important because professions change, don't they? Jobs change, don't they? I looked this up recently, the average American changes jobs 12 times in their life. So does my purpose change 12 times? Well, it might alter, but does it completely change? I hope not. The average American changes complete career fields 5 times on average in their lifetime. So if my purpose is to intertwine with what I do, I'm going to be tossed and turned and thrown for a loop every 3 to 5 years of my entire adult life. The purpose is deeper than that. And again, if you happen to be unemployed, does that mean you're purposeless? If you tie who you are to what you do and you're not doing anything at the moment, I don't have any purpose. That's why there's so much hope and despair in the world. People put too much emphasis on what they do as who they are, and they are not the same. Your purpose is not limited to what you do. It's more than that. In a similar way, your purpose is bigger than even like your interests or your hobbies. I like reading. How does that fulfill my purpose? It really doesn't. It doesn't do anything with my purpose. How does working out reveal my purpose? It really doesn't. How does playing basketball or playing golf reveal my purpose in life? It really doesn't. How does knitting or gardening or anything else that we do for fun or leisure, how does that reveal my purpose? The things in themselves do not. But those things, like football, can be a tool to help us express and live out our purpose. Because our purpose is not what we do, it's who we are, and it's who we impact. Purpose is people. And so the things that we do, whether everyday life, whether it's your job or a hobby or whatever, those can be expressions of vehicles for our ultimate purpose. Here's how Jesus says it in Matthew 5:16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So your career, your hobbies, your everyday life, they give us opportunities to shine our light. They are a vehicle by which we can live out our God-given purpose as we discover it. We have a way to then live that out. So the work that you do in your office or in the shop or in the warehouse is not your purpose, but the relationships with your coworkers, that's the purpose. The lives impacted where you are is your purpose. The work ethic that we have at our job to our boss is part of revealing that purpose. The character that we build in what we do, not the thing, but who we are in what we do, reveals our purpose, is our purpose. The sales that we make are not the purpose, but maybe how we treat the customers that we interact with, that's living out our purpose through Christ. Even raising our children, again, if you're a full-time parent at home, even just doing the things that you do, that's not the work of that's not the purpose, but the reason why we do that is part of what our purpose is. Being someone that we want them to emulate is part of that purpose. Doing the things that show them love and care is part of our purpose. And again, even our hobbies, things we do for fun, those things are not our purpose, but again, they're ways in which we can reveal that by impacting people. So again, you have an interest in reading. Guess how that hobby, you can join a book club, and now you've got people that you can impact through your purpose, okay? Maybe you play golf or you play basketball. Joining a sports league gets you around people, and then the impact you have on them through your life and witness is a vehicle through which you're living out your purpose. Or a gardening club, that the people, or a mom's group, the people, whatever that thing is, whatever that interest is, people are the purpose, and your purpose is not what you do, but it's who you are in what you do. So don't limit your purpose to simply what you do, but let it flow from who you are. That's two of the observations there about purpose. Let me get into this other thing here. We're going to switch gears for a second. I want to share with you now four benefits of purpose. And that's both as you're trying to discover what that is for you, what that looks like for you, because it's going to look different than everybody else. It's okay. And then as you start to live that out, the benefits, these four benefits of purpose will be manifest in our lives. All right. So here's the first benefit of purpose, and that is focus. I will also mention each of these four things, we will have a purpose statement that will go along with them to help us kind of flesh this out a little bit better, okay? So focus is the first benefit of purpose. I will say for this one is a prerequisite in discovering your purpose, and it's also a benefit as you live it out. It's kind of a two-for-one here because it takes focus to realize and discover your purpose. So again, we're not living on accident. We're living on purpose. And so if I'm trying to discover what is it that God wants me to do in my workplace for him, what is it that, how does God want me to use my influence for him? How can I live out my purpose? It's going to require focus to figure that out, which means I'm going to have to maybe weed out some other things. I'm going to have to work through some other sort of clutter and mess in my life. I'm going to have to prioritize certain things in a certain way to truly, deeply discover what that focus is. Accidental people live unfocused lives. Life just sort of happens to them constantly. They don't see opportunities when they arise, maybe as sharply as they should. But people of purpose live focused lives. So there's some sort of prioritizing in what it matters and maybe what doesn't matter, where my time should be spent and maybe where it shouldn't be, how my energy should be spent and how they shouldn't be. That's a focused life that helps us to fulfill and live out our purpose. A focused person will see opportunities maybe a little bit clearer and take advantage of them a little bit better. Again, I will say there's still unknowns for everybody. Life is just that way. But the more focused that we are, the more we can see through the other stuff. The more focused we become on Christ, as we'll look at in a moment, the more that we'll be able to see through the things that we didn't know were coming. We can work through them a lot better as we are focused on what our purpose can be in anything that we face. And then as we discover and live out our purpose, our focus sharpens even more. The more clarity I have, the sharper my focus gets. The more I have a sense of this is the direction I'm to go, my focus gets even sharper. It's almost like you have blinders on like a horse. They put those on so they just run straight ahead. Keep my eyes on the prize. I'm just going straight ahead here. That's a benefit of purpose, is focus in our lives. So the focus purpose statement for this first benefit of purpose is this: I won't get distracted from my purpose by peripheral things. I won't get distracted from my purpose by peripheral things. If we can have that kind of focused mindset, it will help us to discover and live out our purpose. I'm going to remain laser focused, eyes on the prize with focus. The second benefit of purpose then is peace. Peace. A person living a life of purpose on purpose can have and does have, I believe, deep peace. And this is not because everything in life is working out perfectly all the time. In fact, it's the opposite is true. That the peace that we have as we're pursuing and living out our true God-given purpose is that even in the midst of the worst circumstances, my peace remains. Because I'm focused as part of that, but I have this kind of peace. Peace is, here's a definition of peace that the Lord gave to me this week, I guess. Peace is active faith in the midst of actual fear. Peace is active faith in the midst of actual fear. That's why the scriptures talk about peace that surpasses understanding. You might be in a situation, in a storm, in a difficulty. Things have hit you, blindsided you, broadsided you, but you still sense God's perfect peace. That defies understanding. That does not make any sense. That's the kind of peace that a person living in their purpose can have, and I believe does have. So here's the peace purpose statement that we'll look at for just a second here. It's this: I won't allow my feelings or emotions to keep me from pursuing my purpose. I won't allow my feelings or emotions to keep me from pursuing my purpose. Now, I'm not going to ignore my feelings and emotions. They're built in for a reason. It's like the, you know, Spider-Man has that spider sense. He knows when the bad guy is coming. He just doesn't know where, but he gets this sense. Okay? We have emotions for a reason. We have feelings for a reason. But we have to be refused to be led by and then fooled by our feelings and emotions. Peace, it gives us sort of that straight, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep moving ahead. I'm going to keep believing and trusting in what God has for my purpose. And we're led by the Holy Spirit to pull that off. On my own, I'm going to be led by my feelings and emotions all the time. But I've got to focus on, I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to stay focused and centered on what God has for me. And that gives me ultimate peace, helps me maintain the peace that I'm looking for. So I won't allow feelings or emotions to keep me from pursuing my purpose. The third benefit then of purpose is what I'm going to call unlocked potential. Unlocked potential. So as you are trying to decipher what God's purpose might be for you right now in this season, in your life, in your job, whatever it is, as you trust him, he will reveal things to you. And what you may discover is as you're truly leaning into the Lord, he might reveal things to you and even about you that you never thought were even possible. As you are really honing in on what do you have for me in this situation or in this relationship, God, he might reveal abilities you never thought you had. He might reveal strengths that you never realized were there because you were relying on yourself before. But no, as we focus in, we might be pleasantly surprised at the unlocked potential that comes as a benefit of discovering and living in our ultimate purpose. So here's the unlocked potential purpose statement. I won't let my natural limitations limit God's supernatural purpose for my life. I won't let my natural limitations limit God's supernatural purpose for my life. So I'm refusing to say, and you can join with me if you want, I'm refusing to say anymore, I can't. Instead, I'm going to say, God, you can. If I'm trying to live out your purpose, I can focus on the things I'm not good at. I can focus on the things I failed at. I can focus on my weaknesses, and that I can be, that's my whole life, I focus on those things. Instead, I can say, God, you can. If you've given me this purpose, if you've given me this design, if you've hardwired me to do this thing you called me to do, you're going to have to do it. I can't, but you can. Think about even, you know, Moses, when he's called by God through the burning bush. He's called to lead 1 million slaves out of bondage from Egypt. And Moses has enough sense, like any of us, to say, God, I can't do that. And what does God say to him? He says, hey, what's in your hand? Well, it's just this staff. It's a piece of wood. You know what that piece of wood did? It, when he threw it on the ground, it turned into a serpent. So when he goes before Pharaoh and he says, hey, I've got magicians and we have gods and we're powerful, Moses is like, hey, I'll throw mine down. They'll eat all of yours and you'll see that my God is actually real, okay? Then when they get to the Red Sea and they have an army behind them and the sea in front of them, that piece of wood, what do you have in your hand? Natural limitations, this can't do anything. He holds it out over the water and they part and they cross on dry ground. Natural limitations didn't keep God from doing his supernatural purpose. And then later on, when they're wandering in the wilderness and they're attacked and they're in a fight, he has the staff in his hand. As long as he holds the staff up over his head, their army is winning. When his arms get tired and the staff lowers, they're losing. It's just a piece of wood. It's a walking stick. What is the power in this? There's enough. There's unlocked potential in the simple things God gives us. So you may not be enough, but thank God he is. You may not have what it takes. You don't. Just sorry to burst your bubble there. But God does. Every time. As we lean into what his purpose is, he will unlock potential that we never thought possible. That's a benefit of purpose. I won't let my natural limitations limit God's supernatural purpose for my life. Here's the fourth benefit of purpose, and that is endurance. Endurance. As we, again, hone in on living a life of purpose on purpose, we're going to discover, as you probably already have, that this thing is a marathon, not a sprint. It helps if we have a long-term mindset on purpose. And like if I haven't broken through and discovered what that is in 30 days, God, I'm out. You know, like I need a 30-day guarantee. It doesn't work that way. There's a long-term mindset to what our purpose is and can be. And hopefully that will lead us then to persevere, to endure, to not give up, to not quit. There are going to be times and seasons where it's extremely difficult, yes. But endurance is a benefit of purpose. There will be moments, maybe months, maybe years, where it is excruciating in life in general. And there might be seasons where it's very dark, might be times where you just don't hear God at all. Endurance is a benefit of purpose. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on this purpose that I know God has for me. So we grow in our patience as we search for and walk in our purpose. It's a benefit. We understand that when doors close, we believe that God will open a new one, and more importantly, the right one. We just had that happen this week with Kim being on her job search. All of a sudden, 2 days ago, she's got two companies fighting over her. It's like the most amazing thing ever, right? She's like, no, she's hearing, no, 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 closed door, closed door, closed door, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden, we got two people at the last minute. They're like, hey, right, I'll fight for you, and I'll fight for you. One fought harder than the other, okay, cha-ching. And so we went with option A. But there was more to it than that. But you endure, right? You endure. And so if you're in a season where you're, God, what is going on? Endure. God, where are you? Endure. God, I can't hear you. Endure. Persevere. Push through. When doors close, we know God will open not just a different one, but the right one. And so we don't always automatically see resistance as a negative. Sometimes it is, but focus, these other things help us to see the difference. Sometimes when this doesn't keep working, maybe that's a sign that's the wrong thing. Just move on. Sometimes, though, we need to learn to endure a little bit longer, not give up so quickly and so easily. We increase in our ability to see obstacles as opportunities because of the benefit of endurance in our purpose. So here's the endurance purpose statement. It's this: no matter what I face, I will not give up pursuing and walking in my purpose. No matter what I face, I will not give up pursuing and walking in my purpose. I'm going to endure. So an example of all of these benefits of purpose lived out is in this woman that you maybe have never heard of. Her name is Gladys Aylward. Gladys was born in London in 1902, and as a teenager and a young adult, she worked to help the underprivileged there in her community. She never had any plans or aspirations to be a missionary or go anywhere outside of where she grew up, but she sensed a purpose on her heart from the Lord to go to be a missionary in China. And so she had no training, obviously didn't know Chinese, had no way of knowing how this was going to work, but she believed that this was her purpose. So she approaches a local missionary board that they let her try to get some education, they try to teach her Chinese. After 3 months, they kick her out of the program because she hadn't hardly learned any Chinese at all. And she was told, you'll never learn it. It's just too difficult. You're not catching on fast enough. This is just not going to work. But she was focused on her purpose. So in 1932, at the age of 30, she decided, I'm just going to go anyway. God's called me to do this. I have peace about it, so I'm going to go. So she took almost all of her life savings to buy a one-way train ticket to China from London. She rode the train all the way to China as a 30-year-old with nothing left. No turning back, but she had peace about her purpose. So still not sure about what she was called to do specifically or where she was going to go, she happened upon this small little inn that would take in people run by missionaries. And at this place, she took care of the horses and mules and did some upkeep for them. And they would teach their Bible lessons in Chinese. Guess what? From being around these people, hearing the language, being immersed in the culture, she learned how to speak Chinese. This is the unlocked potential of her purpose. She maybe would never have learned in the classroom setting at the missionary board, but when she immersed herself and said, hey, I've got peace, I'm going to do this, I've got the focus that it takes, this unlocked potential happened in her life. Soon afterwards, she was offered a job by the Chinese government to go from house to house and inspect little girls because about 20 years earlier, they had outlawed what was called foot binding. So it's where, if you've not heard of this, small feet before the 19th century and before, they would basically take small, you know, toddlers and curl their toes as far as they could underneath to their heel and bind them in some way, because small feet were like a thing of beauty in that culture. It had been outlawed, so she was hired by the government to go door to door and inspect and make sure this illegal practice wasn't still happening. She said, I'll go on one condition, if I can share the gospel when I go into these homes. And the Chinese government agreed. Now, you know that was a long time ago if they agreed to do that, all right? It wasn't Xi Jinping in charge, all right? So she more unlocked potential. She started to work with orphans then from that work in her local area. But then soon after, 1938, Japan invaded China as World War II was starting to come in Europe and in Asia. And so Gladys, in her endurance of her purpose, saying, hey, I've still got work to do with these girls, with these kids, she started working with orphans here. And so she led over 100 orphans across a mountain range to safety in a different part of China. She endured. She didn't quit on her purpose. Then finally, in 1958, she settled in Taiwan and started an orphanage full-time and led that for 12 years until her death in 1970. So Gladys is an example of these benefits of purpose. She was focused on her purpose. She had peace every step of the way in her purpose. Over and over again, she saw God unlock the potential she could never unlock on her own. And she endured doubters. She endured setbacks. She endured a war, a lack of resources, you name it. These benefits helped her to achieve her God-given purpose. And I believe that you and I can see these same benefits in our lives as we live our life on purpose, with purpose. That leads to the final thing as we close, and that's simply this. What is a disciple's ultimate purpose? What's a disciple's ultimate purpose? We've kind of hinted at it a little bit already, but we'll look at two scriptures as we close to illustrate and help us to see further what our ultimate purpose really is. So I'll read this, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 from the Message translation. We've hit the Message twice this year already, so I'm above my quota for sure. But I love the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases these two verses in Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 in the Message version says this: it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. So we have to understand, this is going to be no surprise to you, but we have to start with the source of our purpose being in Christ. That's why it's not in what you do. It's not in a career or a hobby. It's not in anything else like that. The purpose, the core, the starting point of purpose must be in Christ. Because your job may change, your hobby may change, where you live may change, your circumstances may change, but your purpose can remain the same because it's ultimately founded in Christ. He is the purpose that is being lived out through you. And this gives us confidence. When we doubt, maybe you doubt your purpose, look to Christ. Look to Christ for your purpose. It says here, long before we did anything, okay, he had his design already ready to go. It's his design. It's his purpose. He's working it out. Christ must be the source of our ultimate purpose. And then we can go on the direction, in the directive of what our true purpose as disciples really is. And that's found in some of the final words of Jesus, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If these are the final words of Jesus, they're going to be pretty important. And in these words, he gives his disciples their ultimate purpose, to make disciples. It's people. It's people. So it has nothing to do with our profession or hobbies. And yet at the same time, it has everything to do with our profession and our hobbies. It has nothing to do with how you live your everyday life. And yet it is how you live your everyday life. The ultimate purpose of a disciple is to make disciples. So everything we do is an opportunity to point people to Jesus and then help people to grow closer and closer to Jesus. That's what it means. That's what a disciple is. That's what following him is all about. It's about people. Purpose is found in following Christ and having an impact on people. So may you and I be disciples who live our lives on purpose, with purpose. And let's use our influence to point people to the love, hope, and life of Jesus in all we do, and more importantly, through who we are. Let's pray today as we close. God, we do know that one of the most important questions that everybody asks is, what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? What am I to do with the life I've been given? Thankfully, we find the answer to that in Jesus Christ. He is the reason for our purpose. He is the designer of our purpose. He is the planner of our purpose. And so may we lean into him, especially during this time of fasting and prayer. This is a great opportunity for us to lean in and listen a little bit longer, listen a little bit deeper to discover and live out our God-given purpose. God, help us to be focused on our purpose. Give us peace all along the way as we try to discover and live out our purpose. God, give us the endurance to face any obstacle, to overcome any thing that we have in front of us that maybe we didn't see and should have. Maybe we could not have known this was going to happen. God, give us the endurance to not give up and unlock your potential in us. It's not that we're trying to be the best we can be. We're trying to be the best that you can have us to be. I'm not trying to work hard and make things happen. I'm trying to focus in on what my purpose is and let you do the work. Let you fulfill your plan in me and through me as I live out my purpose. And may we remember, it's all about people. May we use every opportunity we can to help people find Jesus. May we use every opportunity that we can to help people draw closer and closer to Jesus as we aim to do the same. That we seek your purpose. We want to live out your purpose in these ways and more. God, blow our minds with what you can do in us and through us as we live out your purpose for our lives. God, I pray a blessing over everyone here today, even those that aren't here, that you would heal them, be with them, be with all of us today as we leave this place. Give us a great week this week, full of purpose, ready for more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.